Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, May 6th, 2012.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the 50th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50. And in this chapter, the portrait of the servant of the Lord that Isaiah has been speaking of, writing of, becomes ever more clear. The servant of the Lord, the Lord's anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. And in the first three verses of this chapter, the Lord challenges the Jews. Isaiah was writing this in the late 7th century B.C., and he foresaw very clearly what would happen 100 years or so after his death, that the kingdom of Judah would be destroyed by the Babylonians, and the Jews would be taken into captivity and servitude there. But he also saw beyond the time of their captivity to when they would be permitted to return to their country, any who wanted to. And that was about some 200 years after Isaiah's death. And this is what he writes concerning that period, where the Lord says to Israel, "Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away." In the language of the prophets and of the Hebrew-speaking people at large, speaking of the nation, they speak of the nation as a mother, and of the people of the nation, they speak of them as her children. This is also true of cities, because in Hebrew, both nation and cities are feminine grammatically, and so it was only natural to have this figure here of the nation being the mother and the people being her children. But here the Lord says he did not divorce Israel. Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, and with which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold. In Isaiah's own day, he chronicled the iniquities and the sins of the people of Judah, and he warned them of what would come in the future unless they repented. And now he says, "Before your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother," that is the nation, "was sent away. Why, when I came, was there no man?" That is, no response. "Why, when I called, was there no one to answer?" He came in the persons of the prophets. He came in the person of this prophet, and in the words that they spoke in his name. But there was very little response. There were seasons of revival, as under King Hezekiah and King Josiah, but in general, the country became more and more godless and ungodly. I have to think of our own nation when I think of this, of ancient Israel. Our own nation is becoming not only more ungodly, but more godless and more immoral and proclaiming immorality to be normal. Why, when I came, was there no man? And when I called, there was no answer? And he's speaking to those who were in captivity at this time, which was a time future to his own time. Is my hand shortened that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? This is the way that the heathen would take it concerning their gods, that if something happened like this, well, that God wasn't able to do anything about it. It just is something that we have to endure. But here the prophet asks, is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? And that is to get them out of this condition if they would just repent. Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea, as when the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea. I make the rivers a desert, as in global warming and desertification. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. This also speaks to the current political, godless idea that humankind can affect God's nature. The humankind can cause global warming. God's the one who brings these things to pass, and he has done it in the past, and he will do it again. And then in the next several verses, from verse 4 to verse 9, we read the prophetic response of Messiah, of Christ, to this problem of Israel's sin and of her exile. The Lord God has given to me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious. Indeed, exactly the opposite. As we read in the second chapter of Philippians, he humbled himself even unto death, the death of the cross. And I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. And in the 53rd chapter that we will come to shortly, in verse 5, we read that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. So here in prophecy he has Christ saying, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull off the beard. We don't read anything in the Gospels about their pulling off the Lord's beard, but we do read about his giving his backs to those who strike. In Matthew 26, and Matthew 27:26, we read, so when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See it to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, having scourged Jesus and delivered him to be crucified. And that scourging was a very violent thing. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. We read also in the 26th chapter that of Matthew, then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? And they answered, he deserved death. And they spit in his face and struck him. Isaiah foresaw all of this nearly 700 years before, over 700 years before it happened. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. And also in the Gospel of Luke, in the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in verse 63, that's a long chapter. Verse 63, and it's also the wrong chapter. Anyway, it's in verse 51 of the ninth chapter. When the days drew near for him, for Jesus, to be taken up, that is to be sacrificed, to go to the cross, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That is, he determinedly set his face to go, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. To set the face means one will not be dissuaded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. And it is a matter of history that everyone who had anything to do with the crucifixion of Jesus came to a bad end, and especially did Pontius Pilate. Who among you fears the Lord? Now the God is challenging the people of that day to respond to him, not to be like their fathers. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, which is what they did, incidentally, in the that midnight hour when they went to arrest Jesus. Walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. And then in chapter 51, so the servant of the Lord here, the prophet is saying, is a humble and a suffering one. He is not a haughty one like the other pretenders to Messiahship were. And in chapter 51, we read words that God comforts Zion. You remember in chapter 40, which began the second division of the prophecy of Isaiah, there was a cry, comfort ye, Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And announcing God's pleasure returned to Israel when they repented and when they would repent. Some of this was fulfilled at the time Christ's first advent. Some of it will not be fulfilled until his second advent. And the prophet here sometimes puts them both together, seeing no separation between the time of the first and the second advent. But here he says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. He is urging the people to look back beyond their recent past, for which God sent them into exile, to the very beginning of the call of God on Abraham and his descendants, and to return to the God of Abraham. And it does us all good to look to our own past from which we were hewn, from our forefathers and from our own past, and to see how God has worked in our lives. Because in looking back over your life, if you are careful, you can see God's hand in every phase of your life and how he brought you to where you are today. And it is good for us to do that frequently, and that will give us confidence for the future that the Lord will go with us. He will order our steps. And for the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, speaking of the Holy Land, and makes her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. And when you read descriptions of what the Holy Land was in the 19th century, a land of sand dunes, and a land of desert, or a land of unhealthy marshland in Galilee, where that though the Arabs had been there for 700 years, they have done nothing to develop the land. And then to see the land of Israel today, the beautiful plain of Sharon, the beautiful valley of Esdraelon in Galilee, it's a marvel what has happened already. And this is saying what the Lord will do in the time when he gathers Israel again at his second advent. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to you, me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, that is Israel, for the law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples, which that word is plural, peoples, meaning the Gentiles. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands, that is the area around the Mediterranean, hope for me, and for my arm they wait. And this part was fulfilled in part in Jesus' day and in the days of the apostles when the gospel went forth throughout the whole Mediterranean world and eastward as well. But it will be fulfilled in a greater extent in that day. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. We read about that both in the book of Hebrews and in Peter's letter. And they who dwell in it will die in like manner, but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. And listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. And then he calls an alarm to awaken the nation of Israel at that time. They are beginning to awaken now. You know, there are more Jewish believers in the Lord today than there have ever been since the day of the apostles. And here he calls to them in that day, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. This is their prayer. Awake, as in days of old, in generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces? Rahab among the heathen was the monstrous sea monster, the mythical sea monster of the days before creation. But among the Jews, it was, as we read in Revelation, that old dragon, the devil. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces and who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, and made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over at the time of the Exodus? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads in that wonderful day of the Lord. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a wonderful, beautiful phrase, and what a wonderful time that will be when sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There's a great day a-coming, one gospel song cries, and this is a great day for the world at that time. By then, we'll be gone. And then the Lord speaks to them in response to this prayer of theirs. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor, when he sets himself to destroy? Where is the wrath of the oppressor? And he who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. That was the Lord's answer to their prayer for the Lord to awake on their part. And now the Lord returns the call to them. Wake yourself. Wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl of the cup of staggering. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has borne. There is none to take her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. The children of her who is married than the children of her who is married, saith the Lord. These two things have happened to you. Who will console you? Devastation and destruction, and famine and sword. This has been the lot of Israel for over two millennia. Who will comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of every street like an antelope in a net. They are full of the wrath of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. That was describing the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. Therefore, hear this, you who are afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord, your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering. The bowl of my wrath you shall drink no more, and I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, bow down, that we may pass over. And you have made your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over. This will be the time when God will redeem Israel and Christ will establish his kingdom of God on earth. And this will be a time when Israel will no longer be surrounded by their enemies. They will no longer be threatened by total destruction as they are today. And this, Isaiah wrote this as an assurance for Israel in these times of their exile, that surely there would come a day when God would bring them back again to their land and to himself. And then the first 12 verses of 52 really constitute one chapter, and verses 13 through 15 belong to chapter 53. So let's read through chapter 52 now before we... And next week we'll come to that beautiful chapter 53, which describes the suffering of Jesus. Awake, awake, the Lord cries again. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourselves from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem, that is on a throne. Be loosed. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, as we read in the opening of chapter 50, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing, meaning the beginning of the nation and the ending of the Jewish monarchy. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of them who bring good news, who publish peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. And this is cited in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, where Paul is declaring that God is not through with the Jews, as many so-called Christian theologians teach today, that he will indeed return to them. For in Romans 10 and 15, we read, Romans 10 and 14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Meaning the gospel time in the day of the apostles, when this was fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled again. Depart, depart, go out from there. Teach, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her and purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, you shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. All of this is beautiful poetry, looking forward to the future time of Israel when they will again acknowledge God and Jesus Christ as the Lord. And we have learned much about Christ from Isaiah. He has told us much about the coming of the Christ, insomuch that many people call the book of Isaiah the book of the evangelical prophet, because he comes closest to the gospel of any of the Old Testament writers. So in the next chapter, chapter 53, we will read a vivid description of the sufferings of Christ, written over 700 years before it happened.